this around here. You get that to where you're comfortable.
Right, and you edit all this, right? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, actually, if there's a place where we're talking and it gets, you feel like it gets messed up or something, I'll edit it.
Okay.
But like when Preston and I, we just sat and went. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah, I get it. I mean, we're just having a conversation, yeah, so.
Absolutely. And then at the end, what I'll do is I there's a filter that takes out any noise, like if the AC kicks in, takes out all the background noise. I'll add music at the start. I'll add music at the end, re-render it, and by tonight.
Yeah, you did a great job on the first one.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Fantastic.
You want to bring that a little to you?
Like, is just, it better like that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, yours is clearer than cleaner than mine. All right. If you are ready, I'm going to put this away.
Mm-hmm.
We are good to go. Okay. That's my little mark with the silence. I know we're starting. All right. Here we go. In 3, 2. Hi, everybody. We are back for another edition of Team Talk, the podcast for Team Automotive Group. Hope everybody, let's do that one again. I just started over myself. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to episode 2 of Team Talk, the podcast for the Team Automotive Group. Hope you enjoyed episode 1 with our owner, Preston Peterson. I'm Victor Howell. It's great to have you with us for this second episode as we bring in, I don't want to say the old timers. I'm not trying to say you're old, Shane, but a guy, he's been around a while. He's got a lot of experience. Shane Bersajay is joining us. He's one of the managers, longtime managers over at our Honda store in Baton Rouge, and he's our guest today. Good morning, sir. It's great to have you. How are you?
It's great to be here, Victor. Thank you so much.
Sure.
In fact, I just turned 62, so
yes.
You could call me an old timer, and that would be okay.
No. Happy belated birthday. Yes.
Thank you very much.
It was 2 days ago from when we're recording this that Shane celebrated his birthday, and that's not the only celebration because one thing we'll be talking about is your tenure, but you're about to celebrate an anniversary.
I just did.
You just did. Okay.
We celebrated 33 years.
Yep. Congratulations.
At Team Honda.
Congratulations.
Absolutely.
That's great. So let's start with a topic like that because you're born and bred in Gonzales. You're a Gonzales man, Ascension Parish, and you were at Baton Rouge Honda. I ended the first podcast when Preston nominated you, and I said, you know, Shane sold me my first couple of Accords, and that was back at Baton Rouge Honda.
It was.
What got you started into the car business, and then maybe specifically, how did you land at Baton Rouge Honda? Maybe it's one and the same, but what got you started at Baton Rouge Honda?
You know, it's a crazy story because I was actually working, I don't know if you remember the old store, New Generation. It was a retail store. They sold audio equipment and car audio equipment, that sort of thing. And I met the owner of a dealership, okay, sold him a bunch of stuff. I was playing music at the time, and I worked in the audio department. Mm-hmm. So sold him a lot of stuff, and he asked me, how do you like what you're doing? I had just kind of stepped away from LSU, and he said, well, I like it. I like it fine. He says, what would you think about selling cars? And I immediately said, do people buy a lot of cars every day? I was just a kid, you know. I think I was like 20 years old, 21 years old. And so that's how I got in the car business. I really did. And I started with Honda. I've been with Honda ever since. And it's a great product. I believe in it. I lay my head on my pillow every night knowing that everybody that's purchased a car from Team Honda got a very good deal, and they got an excellent product, and we're going to take care of them at the sale.
You've been with Honda the whole time. Was Baton Rouge Honda your first stop, or was there somewhere before you got there?
It was somewhere before.
Okay.
In fact, Mr. Ken hired me. Mr. Ken was the general manager of the store at the time, and he said, come on over. I'd like you to be with us. And I took that to heart, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, you can appreciate, for those who don't know, Team Honda was not always on Seguin. It was Baton Rouge Honda off of Florida, close to Flannery, right?
Yep.
It was before you got to O'Neill, but after you passed Sherwood Forest, somewhere in that mid zone.
It was about 300 feet from Brian Harris Chevrolet.
That's right.
On Florida Boulevard.
That's exactly Florida.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
And now I believe it's a church. It may have changed, but when it first was vacated, it was a church. But you, as much as anybody, can appreciate where you are now. The growth that you saw at Baton Rouge Honda, and then you were told, we're moving. We're going to Seguin Lane. You were working. I wasn't there. I was a customer. You sold me cars. What was it like when you heard your move? What was the thought first when you found out you were leaving where you were, going to Seguin Lane?
Well, your first initial, you know, mindset might be that, okay, what's going to happen? But when you look at where they were going to move the store, it just made sense. It made sense from every angle as far as your notability, where you are, location. Everybody quotes the location, location, mm-hmm. location. Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Peterson and Ken Philibert nailed it right on the spot. Yeah. And it's kind of funny because when we finally moved to the store, you know, Baton Rouge Honda at that time, we didn't really have a lot of inventory. Okay. We were kind of a, not a small store, but smaller than some, we'll call it. It only took us it only took us 2 hours on a Sunday to move every piece of inventory we had. And when we got it over there, the lot still looked empty. So it was very unique.
And I understand there's a story that you were out there helping announce to Baton Rouge that there was going to be a future home and a new dealership. Did you get a little wet, a little muddy? What was going on with that? What was that situation?
That was a fun thing. Me and another guy from the store, we took 2 4x8 sheets of plywood and we painted Future Home of Team Honda on it. We positioned them to where anybody driving down Segan Lane could see it from either direction. But we were literally standing in 2 foot of water with a post hole digger putting in 4x4 posts to try to hang these two signs. So it was a lot of fun. Got real wet. We were more concerned about dropping the drills in the water than anything else. But, yeah, that was a scene to see. That was pretty impressive.
Could you have ever imagined, because you've seen it all, from what you were building on Florida, and I know for people who haven't been around for a while, or maybe you're one of our new employees, growth at the time was heading that direction to Livingston.
Absolutely.
Then it took a U-turn. Now we're going towards Ascension Parish.
I don't know if it hit a U-turn or it hit the wall.
Well, yeah, that's
because
true.
It kind of slowed down tremendously. But it was timing. It was location. It was forethought from the leaders, obviously, Mr. Peterson and Ken. And it really, beyond any other thing, it's probably the best thing they've ever done. And it's obviously gotten better. So
yeah,
we've improved. We've become the number one Honda dealership in the state. I actually remember the night it was the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It was December 31st. Mm-hmm. Preston had brought champagne. Mm-hmm. Okay. And basically every manager in the building, we're the last ones there. Yeah. We'll call it 8 o'clock.
Sure,
okay.
Sure.
It's 8 o'clock. And it's so funny because I don't drink very much, but I probably had 4 or 5 glasses of champagne. And, you know, everybody said, "Ooh, man, slow down a little bit. That might take you away." So
I remember that moment because I remember when I saw the picture saying, "Why didn't I get an invite? I would have loved to have been there."
Yeah.
Because, yes, it was late because you were waiting for everybody to close.
Right.
To see the numbers that came through. And, Shane, I think that moment, the dealership has never looked back in terms of number one in the state. Now, for a while, we were also number one for every brand, which is remarkable when you think of how many brands, how many available. And I think our string was broken, and there was an unfortunate circumstance. But when the back-to-back hurricanes hit Lake Charles,
right,
a dealer over there was selling a lot of trucks because people needed it. And God bless them, they had to do it. We're not worried about that type of string.
Right.
But the point is, that night that you all toasted champagne really set a standard that you and the managers that have been there and the employees that have come and the employees that are still there have set a standard and a bar to reach, because the stores never look back.
That's exactly right. You know, it's kind of been instilled in everyone's mindset that you know, the experience here at Team as a whole group is something that you're not going to get anywhere else. You can buy a Honda, you can buy a Toyota, you can buy a Mazda anywhere on the planet. Okay, what makes us different is the people. Okay. I think Preston even said those exact words, but that's the truth. You know, the fact that I can shop in 4 or 5 different Honda dealerships as the crow flies 50, 60, 70 miles, that's easy to do. But the difference is how you're treated, the experience that you have, the comfort. You know, we talk about this a lot, but you build credibility every time you open your mouth with a customer. Okay, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. Mm-hmm. How you treat people means a lot, all right? And when you're building credibility, you're building trust. When you're building trust, you are building relationships. Preston had made a comment about me building so many relationships, but, you know, I have people that I still sell cars to from people that I sold cars to in 1986. Mm-hmm. They still come, they still ask. But they love Honda. Honda's the reason. It's not just me. But the differences are that we are dedicated to offering the best possible experience a customer can have.
As the new employees come in and you get to meet them, because to your point, there are a lot of long timers, not as long as you, but there are a lot of long timers at Honda. So when can you get a feel when you see them coming in and there's that buy-in, right? There's that buy-in of what you said. Yeah, you got to learn about the product. But as you mentioned, you can shop anywhere. But there's a certain buy-in at Team Honda. Can you tell when they're bought in? You can tell, okay, they get it.
They absolutely do. We've got some long-termers. Terwin has been with us for a long time. Curly's been with us for a long time. A lot of the people that have been with us for a long time have gone from salespeople to management. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've been promoted into management here at the store. So,
and it's new cars and used cars, by the way. Not just, and I know you're overdue,
absolutely,
but we should definitely get there. There's a lot of long timers there,
yeah,
too.
Let's not leave them out.
No.
I have been in new cars since day one, which was late 85. But the logistics and the true importance is everybody is on the same page. Okay, everybody thinks, reacts, functions in a manner in which to keep the customer in a position where they feel comfortable. I mean, when you feel comfortable about what you're doing and what you're looking at because the person that you're with has created that atmosphere, okay, and helped create that atmosphere, then the success is there.
Yeah. When we were with Preston in our first episode, he talked about some of the things that have happened in events, and certainly he mentioned, and we totally agree, the big flood was life-changing for him, and that's the Toyota store. The Honda store was prepared for it. Thankfully, we didn't have the damage at Honda that we had at Toyota, but I know you've been through a couple of events besides hurricanes. Obviously, they've had those. We've had some flooding incidents. But there were a couple of hailstorms, I believe, you were involved with Honda that kind of put you on side, didn't it?
Absolutely. We had two major hailstorms, and when you have inventory and everything you are going to sell to make a living is damaged, it creates something that's not normal, okay? We had one hailstorm over at the old store when we were Baton Rouge Honda over on Florida Boulevard, and then the next one happened here at Segan, okay? And it was amazing to see how it was almost orchestrated into turning it into something that was very, you know, something that could have been a serious problem.
Sure.
into a positive. We actually had adjusters lined up in an assembly line to look at every single car, pass them through, so on and so forth. And it took a nightmare and turned it into something that was actually positive.
Yeah, and so, to see everybody rally.
Exactly.
Yeah, and we certainly saw that at Toyota when that flood happened. Let's go personal for a little bit, because you're Gonzalez born and bred.
Yes.
Did you go to EA?
I did.
Okay, because I remember your son was there. He was an outstanding kicker, kicked at McNeese, because as you know, with my sports business, you and I used to talk a lot about he was being recruited, what was going on. Then he had a nice career over in Lake Charles.
Yeah, he was All-State in high school. Blake started out as a soccer player, and he did play soccer for East Ascension, but he did real well in high school, All-State as a kicker, and then he was recruited by McNeese. He played at McNeese, and his first 2 years, he was an alternate All-American, and his second year, he was an All-American.
Yeah, that was great.
So, yeah, so he did real well, still doing well. He's actually, he manages the Floyd Mayweather Boxing Fitness Center in Lake Charles.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty. And he's met Floyd.
I was going to say, does Moneymaker make his way down to Lake Charles?
He did. That's exactly a fact, and it's pretty cool.
Now, did you play football at EA?
I did. I played ball at EA. I was in the band at EA. I actually played. We had our own band. We cranked up a band when I got to be, I guess I was a junior when that started, and we became somewhat successful when you start talking about a little local band. We played a lot of proms. We played a candy striper thing. The biggest gig we ever had was we played at the Breakers, and I think you played at the Breakers as well.
Yeah,
okay.
With Louisiana.
So that was the biggest one we did, and I can remember having to drive back from that Friday, Saturday, Sunday night to get back to be at school at LSU for Monday morning at 7 o'clock class.
Oh.
I wasn't very smart scheduling a 7 o'clock class.
My career was a little like yours. I played basketball, not football, but I was in the band as well. Where did your interest in music come from? When did it start? And what was the, how did you get into it?
Well, my dad was very big in music. He played keyboards and they had a band in Gonzales for a long, long time. The name of the band was Outkast. And so I guess all of that kind of came from him mm-hmm. through me.
Sure.
I enjoyed music my entire life, always did. But I really had fun playing music. I played trumpet. I played trombone. I played the drums on a couple of different songs to give the drummer a break. You know how that goes.
Right.
Everybody needs a break and that sort of thing. But yeah, we had a 7-piece band. The name of the band was Pegasus. We had 3 horns. We had 2 trumpets and 2 and a trombone. Then we had a bass player, a guitar player, a drummer, and obviously a keyboard player. And we actually sounded pretty good for a long time, and then everybody started falling in love and all that kind of stuff. So we just kind of went away on its own, you know?
Work and responsibility that, took over.
Exactly.
Huh? There's nothing better than a good band with a brass section.
Yeah.
That's why I love Chicago so much.
Whenever they come to that type of
music.
Yep. I love Chicago. That was one of my favorite bands. I had the opportunity to go to the LSU Assembly Center, and we saw KC and the Sunshine Band.
Oh.
And their horn team was incredible.
Oh, legit. Okay? Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we played a lot of stuff like that. The stuff that we played was really, I guess you'd call it top 40 dance music.
Sure.
Okay.
Because sure, yeah.
if you're playing for a dance, you got to play a song that you can dance to, right?
Right.
So, but yeah, I was able to see Kool and the Gang. I was able to see KC and the Sunshine Band. We played a lot of old stuff like Wilson Pickett. We played a little Otis Redding.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff old.
You're playing the good stuff.
My dad called it the belly rubbing music. So yeah, that goes. But
young kids listening to this, look it up.
Yeah, exactly.
KC and Sunshine Band, Otis Redding, look it up.
Yeah, exactly. Wilson Pickett.
Wilson
you got
Pickett.
It.
Yeah, look
but
look
then
up
you,
that good stuff.
Then you had when you know, you had the Lionel Richies. You had the you know all the music that was out there at the time when I was growing up. That's the stuff that we played.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
No, that's good cover stuff.
That's absolutely
great. One of the best ones. I remember when the Louisiana Lottery first came, and they had the big grand opening party down in the dome.
Mm-hmm.
Vanna White was brought in as the hostess. Huey Lewis and the News played, but they brought the Tower of Power.
Oh, wow.
I was there because I was at Channel 9 and went down there. Now,
oh,
you
my
want to
goodness.
Talk about, yeah, I can see your face. You want to talk about a solid group to back up a band.
Whoo! Mm.
That
Mercy.
Was something. That was the band they had to welcome the lottery to the state of Louisiana.
That's the one to do it with for sure.
Oh,
absolutely.
Goodness. You miss it? Do you still dabble? I know it's not easy. I play trombone too, so it's not easy to just pick up a trombone and start playing or a trumpet. Do you dabble on the keyboard? Are you just like listening these days and singing along?
I don't really do keyboard. I never did. I mean, I can get on the keyboard and play chords, but the horn has been put in the case. The case is on top of the shelf, and it's been there for quite a long time without me even looking at it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's kind of funny because I think about the things that happened and the fun that we've had doing that. I think the most fun I ever had was when we played for the Candy Stripers. Now, the Candy Stripers, you have to understand, are all young girls, okay? So we're sitting there playing music, and we think that we're the greatest band on the planet because they're all standing and yelling and screaming and hollering, and we're sitting up there going, this is fantastic.
Make a life out of this.
Exactly,
huh?
Right. This needs to be what we do, and then it went away. So
you said you played sports at EA, you played football. Did you ever think of wanting to do sports further, or did music just kind of took over in terms of a side passion?
I think music took over more than anything else. Kind of funny. Before I even got in the band, I was actually in a speech class, and I was in the choir. So the guy that kind of ran, I would say, the speech portion of the school, he was the speech teacher, but he also did plays, okay? He was in charge of the, I don't even know what it was called back then, but Gonzales had a theater, so to speak, and his last name was Holdridge, and I'm trying to think of his first name, but I can't. But he was my speech teacher, and they had us audition for a role for a play that was Hello, Dolly. And I go, you know, he said, look, you're going to try out. You have to, this is part of your, I kind of didn't want to do it, but so he offered me the role of Horace Vandegelder, the lead role in Holly Hello, Dolly. Well, you know, I go back to the band and say, hey guys, I can't practice as much because I may start this. They said, oh no. You're going to be here. This is where you're going to be. You can tell, I think it was Linwood Holdridge. You might even know Linwood, so I had to decline on that, which I thought was pretty cool, but I enjoyed music from the time my ears opened, I think, more than anything else.
So. You could have potentially had a stage career.
Oh man, yeah.
Career. You'd be touring.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. Well, this thing they make me do, I've had people tell me that, hey, you should have been on the radio. You should have been on the radio. We have a thing at Team Honda where if you have a birthday, I get a phone call and, hey, Shane, it's so-and-so's birthday. And we have a shout out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've been in there for some of
You've been in there
oh,
for
yeah,
some
I
of
hear
those.
It.
So,
yeah, you're
yeah,
booming
so
in there. Absolutely.
It's attention, attention, attention. All Team Honda employees and customers. So
yes.
It's just a lot of fun.
We have
a good time at work, but we work too.
Yeah. So. And we bring it back to work about just the environment. And we talked about a little bit of what you've seen from the past. What do you see going forward? Because I know you and I talked before we started the podcast here. If you're looking closely on social media, you might see an ad pop up from Honda, and it talks about coming early 2026, the Honda Zero.
Right.
And I think there's another name of a second vehicle in the ad, and it's leaving my mind, and I was asking you about it, and I guess that's the push to electric, right?
Yeah,
is that correct?
You know, Honda made a statement a while back saying that they expect to be 100% electric by, I think it's 2035 or something like that, and we still don't know if that's going to be the case,
yeah,
but
sure.
As an example, how the business has changed in that part, when I got into business, you could go buy a Civic for $9,800, and when you got there, you had to add air conditioning, you had to add a radio, okay?
You had to add an air conditioning.
You had to add an air conditioning, and you have to add a radio. So, but a $9,800 Civic, you know, that's a pretty inexpensive car in terms of what cars are today. Well, the business has changed because that customer was brought in by an ad that either was on television or in the newspaper, okay? Well, to see what the business has moved to now,
yeah,
where the internet has kind of taken over that completely, there's not a lot of ads in the newspaper as much so as the television and the radio, but when it's all said and done, a lot of our customers come from the internet.
Sure.
And
yeah,
so the change is it's not the ad in the newspaper anymore that drags our business, but it's the internet, it's television, and it's also radio, and that's kind of changed a lot.
Well, so do you miss having to get all of those two-liners for the newspaper?
I don't miss it at all. I did several of them with you.
Yes,
so.
We did back in the day. I've been around, not as long as you, but
yeah,
I have been around a little
that's
bit.
That's exactly right.
So on that note, because that's a great point to bring up, that so many now are transitioning to that, do you see the customers reacting differently in terms of their knowledge or the way you interact? Because my opinion, or at least what I've seen, I'm sure you've seen this too, but I've noticed that our staff has changed, but the customers have changed. And I go back to COVID, right, when you couldn't go anywhere, where, you know, our Honda dealership, you literally had 900 cars, 1,000 cars. I mean, as landlocked as you are, they were way in the back on the gravel lot. I mean, just bumper to bumper. And you don't have that anymore. But now, like the story I tell people, you used to come in and say, I'd like an Accord. Great. What color? White. Perfect. I've got 16 of them. Let's go take a look.
That's right? Exactly right.
Some of them have gray interior. Some have got light interior.
Right.
But now it's, hey, I'm looking for an Accord. Do you know what you want? Yes, I'd like it to be white. I need a sunroof. Doesn't have to be leather, but if you have it, great. Okay, fine. I got three of them, but I got two on the way. Like, they seem to be coming in much more prepared.
That's
now,
exactly
you
right.
You don't have to walk it anymore and test drive like you and I used to do when you sold me my Accords.
Exactly. You know, the unique thing about this is when you meet a customer today, they probably know as much about the car as you do, okay, because there's a wealth of knowledge on the internet and people are shopping. The statistics show that anywhere between 55 and 65% of the customers that you're going to speak to have already been on the internet. They already know the car. They already know exactly what they want. And it's a matter of you basically just putting the deal together based on their wants and needs. And that brings me back to a a comment that I made earlier. So when you're talking to these customers that are super knowledgeable, okay, you have to know the car. You actually have to know who you have as a customer. Mm-hmm. Different customers are going to have different needs, that sort of thing. And the most important thing you can do is not fail by not knowing the car as well as they do, okay? And that's something that we try to preach to our salespeople, that it's super important to know the car, because what you're the person you're talking to may know more than you.
Sure.
Okay. So that's a key thing in how the business has changed, and it's a note to what you just said as far as how has that become different than what it used to be in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it brings me back around to something you said earlier as well. Yes, you got to know the car, but the other thing you said is the difference between team and everybody else is the way you're treated.
That's exactly
and the customers,
right.
Because I can think of 500 dealerships within 60 miles if I wanted to go three different directions. But why do they keep coming back here? So
that's
if you know
exactly
the car,
right.
But you know how to treat them, and right. That goes to the number of presence awards you all have won. Team Honda's won year after year after year.
Absolutely.
The Masters Circle, the Presence Award, J.D. Power. I mean, on and on and on.
Yes.
But that goes to your point exactly for what you said. Look, I can't wrap up with you, but without asking you about, let's go back to the opening for a minute of the building. Because you talked about you were standing in water, you're putting in a wooden sign, you're trying to let people know you're coming. You bring all the inventory or what you had of it. But they finally want to get everybody together. Hey, it's a grand opening. We've made it. We did it. We've moved from Florida to Segan Lane. Let's open it up. Evidently, it didn't go as planned, but it might have even made for a nicer event. Tell for folks who weren't around what that story.
It was actually pretty neat and pretty cool. On the grand opening night, our electricity went out. So we scrambled and went and bought a bunch of candles. So we used to call it the candlelight vigil, okay? Mr. Ken was just really silly about it with everything that was going on, and Mr. Peterson, obviously, he was obviously concerned, and the biggest thing was it ended up turning into something that was really nice. It was really special. I don't really know of any other grand opening that I've been to that seemed as sincere and honest and just an incredible place to be at the right time.
And maybe it set the tone for what that dealership has become.
What was going to continue to happen every day down the road.
Yeah.
That's exactly
right. Look, you just celebrated an anniversary again. Congratulations. Happy belated birthday. But it's been a pleasure knowing you as long as I have. As I mentioned, I'm a customer.
Yes.
I'm a customer with you from a couple of Accords from, way back when at Baton Rouge Honda. And now it's an honor to work with you. And since you're our second guest and Preston was the first, but we set a little thing we want to do here on our podcast where you don't have to have an answer, but if you have one, we are going to invite our guests to the Team Talk podcast to nominate who would be the next guest. So do you have anybody in mind? And if you don't, it's okay to pass. But if so, do you have anybody you'd like to nominate?
Well, there's a guy that I even told him I was going to probably nominate him, and he probably didn't care for that. But we have a guy that's been around for a long time. He's been here over 25 years, and he is as much a part of this dealership as anybody that has ever worked here. And his name is Tommy Goodson.
All right.
And Tommy was the assistant head coach for the ladies basketball out at LSU with Sue Gunner for a long time. But he's actually become a mentor. He's a person that everybody looks up to. The guy always has the right answer. That's what's amazing. He's always got the right answer. So if you have a problem and you have a question, and you're anybody in the world, if you need to ask somebody, you go see Tommy.
You go see Tommy. Go see
That's
Coach.
Exactly right. Yep.
All right, Coach, you heard it here. You're on the clock. We'll be reaching out to you. We look forward. Yeah, I think I'll have a little basketball talk.
There you go.
I was covering that team when Coach
Absolutely.
Was on the bench. And
Absolutely.
I was sitting up in the press box, and years later, working together. I really appreciate you coming over. This is fun.
A lot of fun.
Love
yes.
the stories. Thanks for sharing so
Great.
Many of them. Congratulations to you and JB and everybody that's over there. Alan, everybody that's doing everything in new and used cars, keep it going.
Thank you.
We're certainly proud of it and,
awesome.
And proud of you, and I thank everything.
Thanks so much.
You got it. Shane
right,
Bergeje with us here on our Team Talk podcast. Hope you enjoyed listening. Tommy Goodson's on the clock. We'll reach out to Coach and look forward to having him on our next podcast. Until then, hope you have a great day. Make it a great day at whatever team store you're at. For Shane Bergeje, I'm Victor Howell. We'll see you next time right here.
Go Team Honda.
Pasta. There you go.
Awesome.
And just like that.